Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In 1948, Shirley Jackson published what became her best-known short story. It appeared in the New Yorker magazine, and it's called The Lottery.
Although the villagers had forgotten the ritual and lost the original black box, they still remembered to use stones.
This is writer A.M. Holmes reading the story's dark conclusion.
The children had stones already, and someone gave little Davy Hutchinson a few pebbles. Tessie Hutchinson was in the center of a cleared space by now, and she held her hands out desperately as the villagers moved in on her. "It isn't fair," she said. A stone hit her on the side of the head. Old Man Warner was saying, come on, everyone." Steve Adams was in the front of the crowd of villagers with Mrs. Graves beside him. "It isn't fair. It isn't right," Mrs. Hutchinson screamed. And then they were upon her.
I first read The Lottery way back in high school, that story of villagers taking part in an annual lottery in the town square where one deeply unlucky resident is stoned to death by her friends, neighbors, her own family. And the villagers don't remember when or why the tradition was created, but they take part anyway, year after year. And the story still terrifies me. More chilling still, it was a New England village, or rather a New England village life, that inspired author Shirley Jackson to write The Lottery in the first place. And that is the real-life story that Ruth Franklin tells in the new biography of Shirley Jackson. It's called Shirley Jackson, A Rather Haunted Life. And Ruth Franklin joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much, Magda. My pleasure.
So, I was talking to you during the break that this The Lottery is still so powerful. It still gives me chills. First of all, before we talk deeply about Shirley Jackson, just remind us what kind of splash or sensation The Lottery made when it was first published in The New Yorker in 1948.
Well, it was an enormous sensation. In fact, The New Yorker would say later that they received more letters about The Lottery than about any piece of fiction the magazine had published to date. Hundreds came in that summer, and in fact, Jackson continued to get letters about The Lottery for the rest of her life. And she loved to talk about these letters. She had a lecture that she gave about them that she called Biography of a Story, in which she described them as being irate and, name-calling. People called her perverted. They threatened to cancel their subscriptions. But for the most part, the letters were really puzzled. People just really wanted to understand what the lottery was about, and they just wanted someone to explain the story to them.
And how did Shirley Jackson herself answer that question?
Well, Shirley Jackson gave a lot of different answers to that question. She sort of famously didn't want to give a specific answer. And I think that was a good inclination, because part of what makes the lottery so powerful is that it can be interpreted in so many different ways. You know, as a general parable of man's humanity to man, or as a more specific reflection on the era that she was living in.
You know, 1948, post-war.
Exactly, right? Post-World War II, just at the beginning of the Red Scare. There's so many possible ways to understand the story.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the circumstances that inspired Shirley Jackson to writing The Lottery and her many other works, because she was born in California, but later on moved to Greenwich Village. How did she end up in New England?
Well, she actually moved to New England a couple of times. The first time was when she and her husband, Stanley Edgar Hyman, who was a literary critic himself, they were living in Greenwich Village right after college. They both graduated from Syracuse University together in 1940, tried to make a go of it as writers in the village, you know, as people did in those days. And they were just kind of beaten down by the conditions. The real estate was apparently in terrible wreckage, and their poverty. And so they saw an ad for a little cabin in Winchester, New Hampshire, in southern New Hampshire, not so far from here. A cabin where the conditions were described as rustic. Namely, there was no running water. There was some kind of bathroom, but it wasn't connected to the main house, and they had to dig to cover up the pipes in the winter so they wouldn't burst. And despite the landlady's cautions that this might not be the right place for two people who weren't accustomed to country living, they took it. And in fact, it was kind of a disaster, their stay there. It was brief. They wound up moving back to Syracuse for the winter and then returning to the cabin once it got warm again, because they not only could they not manage the New England winter, which so many of us might be sympathetic with, they found their neighbors kind of difficult.
Well, so that's what I find so compelling about what you write in the biography, because there's so much about New England life, especially New England rural life, that has been celebrated by other authors in different ways. I mean, there's the New England of Robert Frost, mm-hmm. right? There's the New England of our town. There's all these other New Englands. But here we have Shirley Jackson taking that difficult relationship or sense of isolation that she was feeling from her New Hampshire neighbors and turning it into a horror story, essentially.
Right. And in fact, she does have a horror story about a couple who vacation in a New England town and decide to stay a little longer one summer past Labor Day, and they find that all their neighbors who had previously been friendly turn against them. That story is called The Summer People, and she wrote it actually just after the lottery. But, you know, backing up a little bit to, it's so funny that you mention our town, because Thornton Wilder, of course, came from Peterborough, New Hampshire, just down the road, really, from Winchester. And so he's telling the story of the town as an insider, from the inside, with this privileged point of view. And what Jackson experienced was what it's like to live in one of those towns as an outsider. You know, Stanley Hyman was Jewish, obviously not common in those parts, we could say. Jackson took his name in her personal life, so she was known as Mrs. Stanley Hyman, and identified very strongly with him as a Jew and as an outsider. And so in Winchester, they often felt as if they were just on display. They had trouble making friends. In fact, Stanley, in one of his letters, said that the only friends they managed to make were a pair of local communists who ran a dog kennel. And they just had the feeling that the neighbors just didn't quite approve of them and their New York ways.
Now, how much of those feelings and that that sentiment runs through her other works? Because she also wrote a novel, right? Several novels. One right before her death, We Have Always Lived in the Castle, and that also sort of takes a look at a sense of being an outsider in a New England town?
Exactly, yeah. This strain is strong throughout her work. We Have Always Lived in the Castle, the story of two sisters who live in a mansion separate, high on a hill, separate from the rest of the town, and live totally isolated from the rest of the villagers. In fact, one of them says at one point, "The people of the village have always hated us." And it turns out that there's a scandal in the family past. One of the sisters has been accused of poisoning the rest of their family at the dinner table by putting arsenic in the sugar that the members used to sweeten their blackberries. And the older sister was accused of this and stood trial for it and was acquitted for reasons that we don't find out in the novel. And then as the book unfolds, it becomes clear that maybe that wasn't the full mm-hmm. story of these two sisters and their relationship. And, you know, in her files, Jackson left behind lots of drafts for these novels and also a lot of drawings. She loved to make pictures as she worked. And if you look at the map she drew of the town for We Have Always Lived in the Castle, it's not named, but if you look at this map, it looks just like North Bennington.
Wow. Well, one of the things that you write about in your biography is that even though a lot of people read The Lottery, for example, I mentioned I read it in high school. We sort of did an informal survey here. a lot of people read at least that work by Shirley Jackson. You say that the whole body of her work is actually much less appreciated than you think it deserves to be. And why is that?
That's right. I mean, I think, you know, Shirley Jackson has the reputation of being, you know, I wouldn't say a one-hit wonder, but she's certainly best known for The Lottery, much more so than anything else, even though The Haunting of Hill House, probably her most famous novel, you know, is a beloved ghost story praised by writers like Stephen King, and made into a movie twice. We Have Always Lived in the Castle, a nominee for the National Book Award. But these works are, you know, kind of drowned out by all the sensation surrounding the lottery. And some of that, I think, came from, as we discussed, the great sensation that the story caused when it originally dropped. And it was something that Jackson fought against for the rest of her life. She really resented only being known for the lottery, and she tried different strategies to put other works in circulation. At one point, she even tried increasing the permission fees for people to reprint the lottery, because it appears in, you know, all the popular high school and college English textbooks, and it has since it was first published. But she was so frustrated by this, she wanted people to read one of her other stories once in a while, so she suggested to her agent, what if we just increase the fee and maybe people won't buy it as often? All that happened was she wound up making more money off it.
Wow. Well, I can still understand why she touched a nerve back in 1948 by writing a story where the quaintest of New England traditions actually hides a great and profound evil. Well, Ruth Franklin is an author and book critic. Her latest book is a new biography called Shirley Jackson, A Rather Haunted Life. And Ruth will be discussing it tonight at the Harvard Bookstore. We've got more information about that at radioboston.org. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.